We were visiting a little bit before church started, and for those of you who are attending an e-group, we just wanted to let you know of a small change for this next Wednesday. If you're in our e-group on Thursdays, or instead of Thursday, we're going to meet on Wednesday, and we've asked all the e-groups to meet here at the church Wednesday night. And so that, and I would also encourage you to bring with you others that might not normally attend an e-group to be here, because we're going to be blessed to have Marilyn Harder share her testimony of her faith and her walk with Christ over the last many years. You know, I'd especially encourage you to bring your daughters with you, as they're going to hear a message about that involves being unequally yoked and the consequences that flow from that decision of being unequally yoked. Marilyn is kind enough to share with us her testimony. I've heard it over the years in bits and pieces. I never heard her sit down and explain it all in just one long, long extended form. But I know we're going to be blessed by hearing God's work of grace in her life. And so that'd be 6:30 here at the church. All of the e-groups on Wednesday night will meet right here. So Lord willing, we'll see you and bring along a friend. Tonight we're going to be looking at back to the one another's, being kind to one another. I was thinking about kindness. Kindness is like gold. It's rare, but it's also in great demand. In fact, people want more kindness in the world today. They desire kindness. There's even a World Kindness Day. Have anybody ever heard of the World Kindness Day? November 13th every year. This whole concept of a World Kindness Day began in Japan. It started out as a small kindness movement. In 1963, apparently the president of Tokyo University was mugged, and everyone stood by and watched him get mugged. And no one did anything about it. So they thought, well, you know, we need to have a kindness day to kind of take care of things like this and help people be more sensitive to kindness and to be brave in the face of acts of violence and to show random acts of kindness throughout this day. So then you fast forward to 1998, from the small kindness movement turned into a world kindness movement. And this is basically an apolitical, non-religious, international organization that promotes kindness one day a year. And on this day, what you're supposed to do is some random act of kindness to help somebody else who has a need. Maybe buy someone a cup of coffee on World Kindness Day. Maybe mow the neighbor's lawn or do some act of kindness one day a year. See, the founders of this movement hoped that it would help everyone become a little more human by being kind. And I began to think about that. In a way, that's kind of backwards, isn't it? Because really, the more human we become, the less kind we are. I mean, that's the problem why there's so much little kindness in the world today, is because we are human. Humanity is sinful. And where there's sin, there's hearts of self. And where there's hearts of self, there's a lack of kindness. I was thinking back in the first three chapters of Genesis, what kindness must have been like in the garden until the fall came. So you had Adam and you had Eve. And I was trying to think what that marriage must have been like where he was like perfectly kind and she was perfectly kind. And they lived together in perfect harmony. And you know, helping each other and encouraging one another and all of this taking place in the garden for a short period of time. But then the fall came in Genesis 3, and then the man fell and the woman fell, and we see that the lack of kindness also fell, or kindness also fell, and because of that there was a lack of love and a lack of care and a lack of kindness one towards another. Whatever random acts of kindness Adam extended towards Eve suddenly stopped, and vice versa. That's why, you know, to think that we have a need for one day a year really isn't going to cut it as Christians. What we need to do as redeemed people of God is to purpose, according to the Scriptures, to display acts of kindness every day in every relationship we're involved in. We are to be marked as people of kindness. When God saves a soul, He puts in a new heart. That new heart is a kind heart. When God saves a soul, His Spirit comes to indwell us. And we see as we look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verse 22, yes, love, yes, joy, yes, peace, and patience. And then right after that comes what? Kindness. So it's the mark of a believer to be a kind person. In the church, we're called to be kind to one another in the body of Christ. And so the verse we're going to be looking at this evening, briefly, is Ephesians 4:32. It's going to be our springboard. And there Paul writes, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." And I believe this is spoken within the context of the local church. Within the local church, we're to be exemplified by being what? Kind to one another. Growth in grace, and we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school with Doug, growth in grace requires us to put off certain things, stop doing certain things, and then put on other things and become and do other things towards holiness. And so when you look, for example, at Ephesians 4:32, right before that, in 25 through 29, Paul is exhorting the believers at Ephesus to put off certain sins that relate to the tongue in the way that you speak. And then you come to verse 31 and it says, and then he lists six things we're to put off. Stop doing these things. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, or slander be put away from you with all malice. Now, but it's not enough to put off these things. You're left with kind of an asceticism where I don't do those things anymore. But salvation is more than that. Salvation is positive righteousness. It's living out Christ's likeness. And so there's certain things we must become rather than just stop doing certain things. And one of those we see in verse 32 is we're to be kind to one another. You know, parallel passage might be Colossians 3:12, where Paul tells the church there to put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, a bowels of mercy and kindness. Put kindness on. Take malice off. Put kindness on. And then if you look at verse 32 there in Ephesians 4, he says, be ye kind. Be kind. Now, bring into existence, this is the word here, literally, be. Bring into existence kindness in your life. Turn from one mental state of being unkind, and now that you're in Christ, turn to another mental state of being what? Kind towards one another. And I just want to note this. I think the grammar here is helpful to understand is how we do this. Because the grammar is it's a present imperative. Present means it's something we're to do now, and it's something that's going to continue to go on throughout our Christian life. But it also means it's an imperative, that therefore it's a command. And so what we have here is Paul commanding us to right now be kind and continue to become more and more kind throughout the rest of your life until you go to see the Lord face to face. So this isn't a command where you say, okay, I'm going to start today and be kind. I wasn't kind yesterday, but from now on I'm going to be kind. No, what you have here is something entirely different. You, yes, put on kindness. You purpose to do that. There's a change in your way you think and the change in the way you act. But then you continue to be kind and grow in your kindness. You're not automatically there right away, but continue to grow in your kindness throughout your Christian life. So we start putting away the old nature and putting on the new, and part of that includes being kind to one another. I guess if there's anything encouraging about that, it's the fact that none of us have arrived yet. There isn't one of us in this room that has finally arrived at kindness. Hopefully we're growing in our kindness and becoming more kind in our Christian life. You say, well, Don, what is kindness? What would be a good definition we could use to help us understand what it means to be kind? It's almost one of those things, we know it when we see it, but it's hard to give a definition for it. But it's literally a spirit-imparted goodness towards someone else. It's the opposite of malice. It's the opposite of being bad towards someone. In fact, it might be best understood by way of opposite, what kindness is not. If you look back at verse 31, here's a contrast that Paul's setting up here. We have unkindness being bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice. And then he says right after that, but what? Instead, be kind to one another. So instead of being a hothead and being one that's self-centered and self-focused in their life, put on the opposite virtue of being kind to one another. And so the Christian life is marked by kindness. It's marked by that because it's the fruit of the Spirit that God puts in each one of our lives. And it's also interesting to note, it's an outworking of Christian love. So if you have love for the brethren, that love's going to work its way out into what? Practice. And as it works its way out into practice, it's going to show kindness. If there's no kindness, there's no love. If there's no love, there's no regeneration. Barclay says this in his commentary, taking the word krestos, which is the Greek word for kindness, that krestos was defined by the Greeks as the disposition of mind which thinks as much of its neighbor's affairs as it does its own. Kindness has learned the secret of looking outward all the time and not inward. In other words, it's a secret of being other-focused all the time in your Christian life rather than self-centered. Another writer says, kindness is love in work clothes. I like that. That's kind of a way of kind of graphically telling us what it is. It's loving, but with work clothes, where we're doing something with the love that's in our heart. Kindness is the presence of compassion. It's the presence of generosity towards others. And it's the kind person is helpful. The kind person is useful. The kind person is doing acts of mercy, treating others well as they would like to be treated themselves. And so if goodness is the light of God shining within the human heart, then kindness is the light of God shining from that heart outwards in the lives of others. I want you to think about kindness in two ways, a visible and invisible dimension to it. A part of it you can see and part of it you can't see. For example, you can't see in my own heart whether I have love for you or not. I can say that I do with my lips, but you can't see it. It's invisible. Either I do or I don't. Invisible is the kindness that's in my heart from a heart of love. The way my kindness becomes visible to you, and therefore my love becomes visible to you, is through acts of goodness. And so as I begin doing good towards you, that reflects then a heart that inwardly you can't see that is kind and loving. Jerry Bridges writes, kindness is the sincere desire for the happiness of others. The goodness is the activity calculated to advance that happiness. You see how the two go together, the invisible and the visible. You know, Sam read to us recently the story of Mephibosheth in Samuel, 1 Samuel, and that is probably one of the best examples to help us see what true kindness is like in the Old Testament. That's the stated purpose of that story that we see there in 1 Samuel chapter 20, starting at verse 14 through 17, is the story of David's treatment for Mephibosheth. He says that, if you remember, David made a promise to Jonathan, his best friend, that if anything happened to Jonathan in battle, that David would promise to be kind to his family. And the reason why that's important is because that's not how it usually happened. You know, his dad was the king. Jonathan's dad was the king. And we see that when the king's defeated, what happens? The victor, who'd be David, would go around and probably kill all his family to make sure there was no one else to take over after the dad died. And so this promise is made in 1 Samuel 20, and it says in verse 14, "Thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever, so not when the Lord has cut off thine enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth." 16, "So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, and for he loved him as he loved his own soul." And so there was a promise made to be kind to Jonathan's family. Of course, after Jonathan died in the bloody battle alongside of his father, King Saul, David took the throne. And as king, he could have done exactly what he had every right to do, and that was to traditionally go out and wipe out all of Saul's relatives, his sons and the families, so they wouldn't be a threat to his kingship. But instead, he did just the opposite. He showed what? Kindness. He kept his covenant with Jonathan, showed kindness to Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. And we see David's kindness in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. "And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? David found Mephibosheth and showed him great kindness and the highest of honors. He gave him his grandfather's land." And then we see in verse 19, as the story comes to an end, "So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and he was lame on both of his feet." And from that point on, he just showed kindness to this lame relative of Jonathan. That's what kindness does. We know what kindness is. We look in the face of God himself, because our God's kind. He's put his own nature within us. And so we want to know what kindness is. Look how he treats you, and look how he treats me. In Romans 2:4, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness," that literally is kindness in some translations, "and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness," or literally the kindness of God, "leadeth thee to repentance." How did you repent? God was kind to you. How did you have faith in Christ? God was kind to you. How is it you're here today worshiping God, and the rest of the people of Powell, many of them are not, because God was kind to you. Psalm 117:2 says, "For his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." He was kind in sending his son, and then you look at the life of Christ here on earth, is a life of kindness. Every time he healed someone who was sick, he showed kindness. When he fed those who were hungry, he was kind. When he raised the dead, he was kind. When he cast out demons, he was kind. When he ate with sinners, he was kind. When he comforted the needy, he was kind. When little children sat in his lap, he showed kindness. And the woman at the well, who no one else would talk to, he brought the gospel and showed her kindness. But I believe the greatest kindness of all was the fact that our Lord himself lovingly laid down his life for the sheep. That he took on the wrath of the Father, and in so doing, purchased for us forgiveness forever. The greatest act and display of kindness coming from his own heart of love. And now he calls us to be like him, and one of the ways we're to be like him is we are to be kind. Luke 6:35, "But love ye your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, you shall be the children of the highest." Here's the mark of a child of God. "For he is kind." And so our Lord was kind, and we are to be kind like him. Now here's a question that's just to ponder for a second in your own mind before we look at the answer, and that is this. If kindness is really a grace that comes to the elect, to those who are saved, in other words, by putting a new heart and having the Spirit of God indwell us, in other words, we have a new nature, we're new creatures in Christ, therefore we're kind. Why is it, here's the question, why is it there's so many out there in the world who are not Christians, but they're very kind? There's a lot of kindness out there in the world, and it's coming from people who are not Christians. In fact, I was told by one unbeliever that he sees actually more kindness outside in the world than he does right here in Trinity Bible Church amongst God's elect. Now, I don't know if that, I'm not saying that's true. All I'm saying is the comparison, why is that? Why is there random acts of kindness out in the world? Why is it you can open up the paper and read about someone who sacrificially pulls someone out of a flaming car and risks his own life to save the person that's there and is kind to that person? Mary and I recently watched a series of videos on Netflix called The Kindness Diaries. And it was a documentary about a rich man who circumnavigated the world in his yellow vintage motorcycle with a sidecar. And he believed this. This was his premise as he started out on his trip in L.A. to go all the way around the world without a dime in his pocket, only his motorcycle, and to see if not there was enough kindness around the world for people to help him get all the way back to Los Angeles. You know, it'd be fun to watch that sometimes. They're short. They're only about 22 minutes long each. So, you know, you can watch them as a family. And there's, you know, one documented act of kindness after another, all the way across the country, over into Europe, then across Asia, down around the world, and back again. And he made it. He circumnavigated the whole world that way. You can judge for yourself whether those were really acts of kindness, but one of them that's displayed was in Cambodia. You know, he got stuck there in the city, and he was just looking for somebody to put him up for the night and looking for some gas for his motorcycle and trying to get and needed a place to stay that night. And he ran across some gal, didn't speak the same language, but she lived in a little village outside one of the big cities there in Cambodia. And she took him into a little one-room shack where the rain was just pouring in off the roof onto the heads of herself, she was a widow, and her son, and she put him up for the night and gave him a place to stay. And she gave him food, what little bit of food she had that was given to her, she shared with him as an act of kindness. And so here's my question, why is it that oftentimes non-Christians show acts of kindness like this, if in fact this is a work of grace in the heart of God's people? Why is it that sometimes there are more outside of the church that seem much more kind than the people in the church? Well, I believe the answer lies in what we would call common grace. Theologically, we'd call it, we'd give it a label. The label would be common grace. That would explain it. You say, well, Don, what's common grace? And that is just the grace. Again, they couldn't do this without the grace of God. Everyone's heart is totally depraved outside of Christ, right? So they can't be kind. But God in his kindness, even in the area of common grace, will hold back and restrain the heart of a sinner and allow them to be kind, among other things, to do some good things in society, not be as totally depraved as they are. And even that comes from the kind hand of Almighty God. But oftentimes these acts of kindness, if you could see them from God's perspective, would fall short of what true God-glorifying kindness really is. It might come from a motive of works. It might come from a motive of pride. It might come from a motive of personal gain or you know, a sense of karma where, you know, whatever goes around comes around. And I'll throw a little out, maybe I'll get a little back, that kind of thing. But God alone is the judge of the heart, and God alone knows whether or not that it's God-honoring, faith-driven, true kindness. And then lastly, I just want to look at how important is kindness. It's essential. This isn't like an option to the Christian life. It's like going out and buying a new car and getting, you know, certain kinds of tires or wheels versus the one that comes with it, you know, kind of an add-on. This is what it means to be a believer in Christ. If you're a believer in Christ, you are to be a kind person. Luke 6:35 says, "But you love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind." And so, Christ's kindness isn't random acts of kindness where maybe once a year you jump on the bandwagon and you know, buy someone's coffee forward for them for the next year. That's not what we're necessarily what we're talking about. But it's being kind in every area of your life, every relationship in your life, all the time. So, this is what I want to do. This is application time. Let's see if we can break this down into some practical acts of kindness in areas of relationships that most of us have in this room. With our neighbor, with our families, with work, with school, in the community, in the church. Just imagine with me what your family would be like. How it would be transformed if everyone in your home was kind to one another. What a blessing Trinity Bible Church would be. What joy would flood our church if every one of us would display a kind relationship to one another. Now, what I've tried to do is I've made a little list, a little bullet list of acts of kindness that flow out of different relationships. I want you to listen as we go through them. This is not an exhaustive list, and I'm sure I have left some things out, so therefore, as I get to the end of the list, I'm going to give you an opportunity to add to our list if there's any that come to your mind. So let's begin with the family, being kind within the family. And since ladies go first, we'll begin with the wife. Proverbs 31:26 says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of" what? Kindness. Yeah, kindness right there in Proverbs 31. So a kind wife. Now guys, you can be all ready here. Give me all kinds of how wives can be more kind. Okay, but no. But from all of us, let's see if we can add to the list. A kind wife is the one that has kind words. A wife that speaks words that build up her husband and the family and the children. Words that encourage. Words feel like, "I love you." Kindness in the home is serving the members of the home, including the husband. Kindness might be seen in packing his lunch before he goes to work. Kindness might be seen because he gets up real early. You get up early too, and you make his breakfast before he leaves the house. Kindness might be seen in speaking highly of him before other people in the community. And whenever the subject of husbands come up, you're not the one that's quick to be judgmental and critical of your husband before others, but you're honoring him and lifting him up where others are putting their husbands down. Kindness can be seen in keeping a clean home. Kindness can be seen in keeping the romance alive in the family, and asking your husband occasionally, "How can I bless you? How can I be a greater blessing to you?" And I'm sure he might have some suggestions on things that you might want to or not want to hear. You might make him a special dinner that you know he likes, and periodically do that in the home as an act of kindness. You might be one that's willing to show and display hospitality in your home. Now, how about wives? Can we add anything else there for wives you can think of? We're treading very gently here, aren't we? Okay, good. Yeah, praying for your husband. Wouldn't that be a kind thing to do, just to intercede and come on before the throne of grace on behalf of your husband, your children? Yeah, good. Thanks. Any others? Well, I must have gotten them all then. That's good. So now we'll go on to husbands. Being kind to your wives. And it's really summed up in Ephesians chapter 5 where Paul again tells husbands to love your wives as Christ loved the church. 1 Corinthians 13 when it says, what is love? Verse 4, charity, love, suffereth long and is kind. So if you love your wife, you're going to be kind to your wife. Kind in thought, kind in word, kind in deed. Again, asking her periodically, what would bless you? How could I serve you and bless you as your husband? It'd be leading in the family in the area of spiritual devotions. I'm good. All right. I know you were kind last week. Thank you. No, I meant she gave this to me last week. This has been there for a whole week. So, and she's willing to be kind this week. Thank you. Having spiritual devotions in the family, leading your family in worship would be an act of kindness. Helping with the kids, making her load a little lighter. Speaking kindly to her, not harshly as a husband. Occasionally planning dates, whereas you can, as a couple, go out and spend some time maybe away from the kids, and just a kind of romantic evening out would be an act of kindness. Not abandoning her and going out with all your buddies and doing all your running around and having your own fun with the guys and leaving your wife home with all the children on a regular basis. Okay, there's a few. So can we add to that list? How husbands can be more kind to their wives and to their family. Would it be an act of kindness for a father to discipline his children? Would that be a kind thing to do? The kids say, no. All the adults are going, yes, yeah. It would be kind, I mean, because that's for their good. It's for their soul. It's for their, because you love them, absolutely. Any others? Children, be kind to one another. Be kind to your siblings. Be kind to your parents. That would show itself in being obedient to your parents. Preferring your siblings over yourself. Sharing your toys with one another. Respecting each other's things in the home. Offering to help around the house. Hey, Dad, is there anything I can do? Hey, Mom, can I help you? Is there anything I can help you with? Would be a very kind thing to do. Any others you can think of there for children in the home? What's that? Of the children? Yeah, okay. Drawing out and encouraging their talents within the home. Anyone else? What about the guy over the fence? Being kind to neighbors. Went across the street yesterday and visited with one of my neighbors, and he was talking about how some have helped him mow his lawn. Others in the neighborhood shoveled the walk. And, boy, those are all good ways you can be kind to a neighbor and being a good neighbor in the process. But here's the one that is ground zero for us. This is the one we want to look at just for a little bit longer. That is, we're talking about now in the context of the local church. How can we be kind to one another at Trinity Bible Church in the body of Christ? How can we focus our kindness here? And how would that transform the ministry here if we were all kind to one another? Be kind to one another. Who are the one another's? Believers in Christ. So I've got a list here of things that came to my mind, and you can think of others. We could add to that list as well. Remember, this grows out of a love for the brethren. So if you don't love the brethren, you're not going to be kind. But if you love the brethren, it's going to spring forth in acts, conduct of goodness, which would be a kind acts or kind deeds. Whenever we're other-oriented in the church, we're on good ground. And by that I mean whenever you're thinking about those around you, not yourself, you're on good ground for showing kindness. And so you see a visitor in the church, and you want to be kind to the visitor. It would be like getting up and realizing, oh, I see there's someone besides myself, and I'm waiting for everybody to come talk to me. I'm going to go talk to the visitor. And you're going to listen to the visitor talk because you're going to show interest in what they have to say and not tell them all the things you want to say to them. And so you have a heart that's listening to conversation with the interest of others in mind. You're quick to make acts to show acts of kindness when there's needs in the church. Emails go out, people get on the phone, they call, there's need for meals. There's a need for a car for someone who doesn't have a car. There's all kinds of needs, and you know, someone's moving. And you respond with an act of kindness by responding to those needs in the church. Kindness smiles with a sincere smile. So you can smile at one another with an insincere smile, or you can smile in the church because you really care, and you really smile at someone because you're thinking about them. How about kindness picking up for yourself and after yourself in the church? You know, one of the things that happens is everyone leaves on Sunday morning, and you look at all these tables out here, and people leave coffee cups, mugs, they leave paper products everywhere, food still on the table, and, you know, it's like I've heard someone say once, who's your mother? You know? There is no mother in the church. We're a body of believers. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we're really kind to one another, are we really being kind to say, I'm going to let somebody else pick my cup up. I'm going to let someone else take it to the kitchen and wash it for me. That's all about self. But kindness realizes at the very least, I'm going to marshal my own things. I'm going to patrol my own area. I'm going to throw my own cup away or wash my own cup. And when I leave, if I see something else, I'm going to be kind enough to pick it up. And so the person who cleans the church doesn't have to come in and clean up all the extra things because people weren't kind enough to put them away. Kindness says encouraging things. Kindness shares with the brethren whatever you have and someone else needs, you're willing to share. Kindness lovingly warns a friend who's heading in the wrong direction. The kindest thing you could do if you see someone moving in the wrong direction, perhaps in the area of sin, would be to warn them and to lovingly go to them, speak to them. I'm glad there was a kind couple that took us in as brand new brothers and sisters in Christ right after God saved us and discipled us. What an act of kindness that was. For every Friday night, they opened their Bible and taught us Scripture. I'm thankful for a pastor who was kind enough to come out to my house and share Christ with me when I was unsaved. How about something as simple as writing a thank you note? Someone shows you an act of kindness, then you can reciprocate by at least showing them a thank you note. You know, you can drop an email, you can say a thank you, but there's something about a thank you note that's written out by hand, sealed, put in the mail, send off, and just say simply, thank you. Thank you for the meal we had at your house. Thank you for your kindness in this particular area of my life. Now, I thought as I was walking in, I thought, how about kindness in where we park? Should it even translate into driving in and where we park? There's principles involved there of putting others first. I mean, we could rush right to the place that we want to go to in the parking space we want to have, or we could be kind and say, you know, we need to leave a place for Maryland right up front. And doing that is an act of kindness. Even in our seating, I think we could be kind. You know, we can say, I'm going to sit in the seat I want to sit at. I'm going to be there. I'm going to get there, plant myself right where I want to be. Or I could be kind and say, I'm going to let others decide where they're going to sit, and I'll just sit wherever there's an extra seat. That selfless kindness is a good thing. So, and of course, kindness refuses certain things. Kindness doesn't gossip. Doesn't make fun of other people, speak behind their backs, those kind of things in the church. Any other acts of kindness you've noticed that would help us as a congregation if there was more kindness in this area or that? Anyone have any thoughts? Well, how's that? Yeah. if we look at it from our perspective, getting something from me, there's probably not much motivation for being here in an evening service, for example. I agree. You know, I've had that conversation with some people, and not because of me. It's easier when Paul comes up because I can use him as a scapegoat. On the other hand, I said, here's a man that's coming up driving an hour and a half in a rickety old bus, and he's prepared 20 to 30 hours on a sermon, and he's coming all the way up here to preach and to bring us the Word of God. Couldn't we at least be kind enough to come in here? That would be an act of kindness. But if our response, yeah, but Sunday night's about me and my time, what I got going on, da-da-da-da. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but I'm just saying, that's the heart, I think the heart of even being present. Good. Any others? Oh, okay. How you're doing or what? And if you ask, I think that you have to be kind enough to do what? To listen to what the person has to say and care. Yeah, that's good. First Marilyn, and then we'll come back to Frank. Okay, wait, let me process. We have to be kind enough to let other people be kind to us. We're too proud, she says, to accept help from other people. Okay. Good, that's an excellent one. That is. Frank? Oh, you were listening out there, huh? No, okay. Yeah. You're kind, aren't you? No. Wow, is that true? Yeah. Did everybody get that? Say that again. Wow. That's pretty, I would never got thought that. But you're kind enough to do that. No, good. Anyone else? Yeah, Kim? Not to think the best. That's good. Yeah. Turn our guns quickly towards each other and shoot within rather than be kind to one another. That's... Good. From a heart of love. Anyone else? How we can be kind as a church to one another. Be quick to overlook if, you know, not ties in a lot, you know, with what Kim just said. Anything else? You know, we're to be kind to the lost sinners of the world. We do that by showing them the gospel and calling them to salvation. Kind to our neighbor by being hospitable to those who are without Christ. Kind to our church visitors that God brings to us. Here's an exercise for you I just want to close with. And I know I don't want it to sound too gimmicky, but still it's a way of reminding us daily of our need to be kind in our Christian life. And it's really an exercise in awareness of our kindness. That is, challenge yourself to do regular acts of kindness every single day of your life. It doesn't have to be a big deal. It doesn't have to be a big showy thing. But purpose every single day of your life in each relationship that God brings into your life to treat it with kindness, even in the small ways. And I got this idea off Steve, who was telling me that what they do around the dinner table. What was it, the highs and the lows? How's that work? Highs and lows are what? What are the highs for the day and what are the lows, and everyone shares around the table? How about adding it to something like this, though? Around the dinner table with your whole family, discuss what opportunities of kindness came into your life as a member of that family that day, and hold each other accountable that day. What a blessing it would be to Trinity Bible Church. What a joy it would be to Trinity Bible Church. What a blessing it would be to your family, and what a blessing it would be to your family, as well as a joy, if we all would become more Christ-like, with hearts of love, display kindness to one another. And may God help us to grow in this area. Let's pray towards and purpose towards that end. And so, Father, we close just asking you, Lord, that your Spirit would strengthen us, provoke us, convict us, to do all that's necessary to refocus our life off of ourselves and redirect our heart and our attention towards one another, and to make others a priority in our life. And Lord, may we be selfless enough to be willing to do acts of kindness as a growing part of our life. And Lord, for the joy of others, and for your glory's sake, in Christ's name, amen.